Boiled eggs, you mean?
Boiled eggs, yeah. Now, what would you call then the inside part of the egg?
Yolk. Yellow.
Yeah, or the yolk, yeah.
I remember when I was a kid hearing them talk about the yeller of an egg. Not knowing the word, why I was calling it yeller. And my mama said, "That's not yeller, son, it's yellow." I said, "No, now Garfield Brewer." Garfield Brewer. See, and he was from Alabama. That's some of those whiskey makers. Garfield called it yeller. She said, "Well, there's a lot of words they don't pronounce it right." And then later on she said, "Well, they call it yolk." She said, "That's what most people call it, yolk."
That's great. That was easier
to say.
But I thought
Garfield was right. See?
Garfield knew everything.
He was older than I.
Right. Yeah. Garfield knew the whole thing. That's funny. If you crack the eggs in hot water and then cook them in the water, you call them
poached.
Now, you were talking about this salt meat. Now, would you use that in, say, if you were cooking beans
or anything?
And you call that... would that be the same thing as what? Have you ever heard of fatback?
Fatback, and I'm trying to think of what my mama used to call that though when she put in the beans. But she'd cut up some of that side meat and boil it right along with the beans. But I can't think of what she called it. But it was a
salt meat or salt pork?
Yeah, it was salt meat, but I'm trying to think of the words she had to express the difference between that and just straight cooked beans.
The meat between the ham and the shoulder, you call that
the
ham and the shoulder.
Well, now there's several kinds.
Oh.
You mean there's actually a ham of a hog and shoulder?
Uh-huh.
Well, you've got the spare ribs.
Uh-huh.
Then you have the side meat. That's where you get your side meat.
That's where the side meat.
And then when you're fresh butcher, you get tenderloin or backbone.
Uh-huh.
You've got a choice there. You can take the backbone and cut it and leave the tenderloin on it, which is the best meat in the world, I think. If you strip off the tenderloin, it could be a piece of meat that thick, that wide, and that long, depending on the hole. Then you would just have backbone with scarcely a little bit of meat left.
Oh, that would have scarcely any meat.
That's right, if you took the tenderloin off.
Mm-hmm.
When you make backbone as such, well, you leave the tenderloin on and it's wonderful eating. And ribs the same way. You can cut those ribs and leave part of the tenderloin or part of the side meat on them and get plenty of meat, or you can leave it onto the side meat and on the tenderloin, you'll come out a bunch of rib bones with very little meat on it.
Well,
and then the neck of a hog. There's lots of good eating in the neck.
The neck.
And the head, they make hog head cheese.
Oh, I was going to ask you about that. Did they do anything with the head?
Hog head cheese.
Uh-huh.
Takes lots of work for that.
Uh-huh.
Lots of work.
Uh-huh.
It's a very rare dish.
Uh-huh.
People, I don't imagine they fool with it much anymore.
No, probably not.
Don't take that time, but... Time wasn't all that important then.
Uh-huh.
You made this hog head cheese because it'd keep all winter long, and you knew that was food for the table.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, now do you remember on the bacon there used to be something that they'd have to cut off? They'd have to on the
what?
On the bacon, if you had bacon.
The rind.
Oh, the rind. Mm-hmm. They'd have to cut that off.
You didn't have to. But it's tough, you couldn't chew it, but some people ate it anyhow, rind and all. Yeah.
Oh, they did.
But there again, I was always peculiar about my eating. When you have the rind left on a hog, his hair grows out of that rind, just like it grows out of our scalp.
Oh, that's...
And we could, when we butchered hogs, we scalded them, whether you knew that or not.
No.
Well, the first thing we'd do, we'd shoot them with a .22 rifle.
Uh-huh.